If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host. Trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Yeah!
It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast. It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
Welcome back to episode number 86 of the Nonstop Football Podcast. We are here to break down the NFL playoffs. Oh, yeah. There's huge. Adam shouting the we back. I'm just kidding. We're not actually going to talk about football. Maybe we'll go rogue at the end because it is just me and Adam today. My name is Brian. Yeah. How are you doing, Adam?
Pretty good. It is a Noah-less podcast today. Which usually means chaos.
Dude, Noah's out here making some massive life moves.
Huge.
Love huge. To see it. Absolutely huge.
Love to see it. You know what's not making huge moves, though, is just the entirety of the MLB. It's pretty boring right now.
Yeah, it's that point of the offseason where everyone's got their guys, everyone's ramping up for the season, starting to get ready to move out to Arizona or Florida in February, wherever they may be going. And I'm excited for pitchers and catchers to report. It's definitely going to be a little bit boring, but we got some news to break down. And indeed, we got some games to play and maybe some football talk. I don't know. We'll see.
Some stuff.
So I guess we got to start with, I'd say, probably the biggest news in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That Scott Boras apparently does just have an endless amount of wealth.
Just dummy money.
Yeah, man. He just spends money, and then when you think he's done spending, he spends some more, and then you're like, okay, that has to be it.
Yeah, that's gotta be the end of the pockets.
I got some more there. So he locks down Jeff McNeil for 4 years, $50 million.
Yep.
Which my immediate reaction to that was like, what? I feel McNeil could have made some more money.
Absolutely. That was my kind of feeling as well. Was I was like, that is a really good deal for the Mets.
Yeah, dude,
that's so good.
Super team friendly.
Yeah,
and the guy had 5.7 WAR last season.
And dude was the batting champ. He was the NL batting champ. So
literally, oh my.
Yeah, you'd think could get more money, but it does make me wonder. Because in ones like this, like, you don't really get to see, obviously, the inner workings of any of these deals. You wonder if Jeff McNeil himself was, like, you know, willing to take less because he's clearly on a team that that wants to win and is paying, you know, willing to pay the money to do so.
Dude, the guy has a career batting average of .307, a career OPS of .827. Yeah, he doesn't hit a lot of home runs. Who cares?
Gets on base all the time.
Gets on base a lot. And that OPS is high because he's hitting a lot of doubles. Like, you don't end up... Yeah, he had 39 doubles last year. Like, the dude hits. And I just don't understand. I mean, 4 years, he's about to be 31. That takes until he's 35. I mean, I guess you don't really see him signing more than a 4 or 5 year contract anyways because of his age. He's not that kind of superstar that you sign into the late 30s. But, like, I feel like he could have gotten, you know, the more I talk about it, I was, like, going to say, like, $15 million a year, which this really is only $10 million shy of $15 million a year, which would be 60. So, I guess it kind of makes sense. I don't know. It seemed low at first.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The dude is...
But deserved.
Yeah. Dude got rolling up to the bank. So shout out Jeff McNeil. You want to know who I don't want to shout out?
There's a couple people potentially here.
Yeah, this is true. I'm going to start with Mike Clevinger just being a horrible human being, apparently.
Yeah, like a really horrible person.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with Cleveland. I mean, that rotation had Bauer, Clevinger, like... I do love myself some Cleveland now that those guys are not in the team.
They've cleansed themselves of a couple domestic violence people. But, so,
yeah, I mean, right now it's they're investigating, so yes. It's just what is believed to be true. Something like that usually doesn't come out unless at least half of it's true.
Yeah, there's typically, like, the league does not go in and investigate something on a whim. Pretty much, if it's getting investigated, it's pretty bad. it's rare or never happens that, like, the MLB's investigating and, well, they didn't find anything. Potentially a death knell for the Clevenger career.
Yeah, and I mean, what makes this one really disgusting is the involvement of the child.
Yep.
Like that. And, yeah, it's not excusable to begin with, but when you bring in the child, it's like, bro,
especially
like, literally that what Bauer's young of a punishment kid. Is. Yeah. It's like what 10 months 10 or months. Something, not even a year. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely disgusting. The punishment Bauer received has to be the baseline, right? It has to be the minimum.
I mean, you got to think so. Yeah, you got to think so. Yeah, and that's the punishment Bauer received from the gate, the 2 years. I think has to be the minimum. The new, you know, obviously reduced to, you know, one and change or whatever.
I mean, let's be honest. What will probably happen is he'll probably receive the similar suspension up front, and I mean, Bauer's got shortened because the court who heard it, I believe, decided it was too strict, right? Too much. I don't know what they decided. I didn't really read into it. But yeah, just sad situation, man.
Yeah. I mean, you feel for everybody involved except for Clevenger.
I was about to say.
and that's really, you know, as much as I'd prefer to talk about it. Lame. Super sucks that this is, you know, the MLB typically doesn't deal with these as often as maybe, say, like the NFL. But you hate when
I feel like I've heard more cases in the MLB than the NFL, to be honest, over the last like 5 years.
Yeah, I guess that's actually probably true in recent years. Yeah, I guess and I was thinking. Maybe
I feel like it's always pitchers. Like, not always, but like. Every case I think of in my head right now, it's pitchers. That's weird. But, dude, this is the stuff that, like, when we started the podcast, like, this is not what I thought we'd ever be talking about. And it's crazy how much it's come up just since we started it. And it's kind of, like, scary that, like, that much stuff of this nature exists in the world, man. Like, you don't really think of it.
Yeah.
Like, we're just talking about baseball and, like, the stuff comes up in the world of baseball. It's like, man.
Yeah.
It's rough. Sucks. I'm tired of this. Bumming topic. Let's talk about.
There's really only bummer topics.
Scott Rowland. No, actually,
that's
not
true. Hey, yeah, that's true. We did get a Hall of Fame inductee.
The energy up. He was the sole Hall of Fame inductee.
Yep. Couple got closer.
Before we talk about, like, maybe I went to look up Scott Rowland's stats right now, and I typed in Scoot.
Scoot Rowland.
Good old Scoot Rowland.
Oh yeah.
Shout out Scott Rowland. Amazing career. Career batting average 281. Career OPS 855. 316 bombs.
Yeah.
Absolutely love to see it.
A World Series champ, 7-time All-Star, 8 gold gloves.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah. Dude was huge.
Yeah.
Super deserving.
Never won an MVP. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess not. Dude, he actually 2004 shot up that season.
Tough era to win a 2004 tough era to win an MVP in right there.
Yeah, National League
against.
I can tell you how that one went
against a certain Bonds. Who's that guy?
Scott Rowland had a great 2014 season, 314 batting average, 1.0 OPS. So his OPS was only like 400 points behind Bonds.
Absurd. That's absurd.
Which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, that's absolutely not cool.
And this is a public service announcement. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
And if you don't agree, I'm okay with you never listening to this podcast.
Yeah,
again,
and if you don't agree, you're wrong.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. Other notable things. Todd Helton got really close. So did Billy Wagner. Andrew Jones, decently close, I guess. A little over 50%. So I think
of those names.
Yeah.
Oh, just go for it. Go for it.
Oh, I was going to say the other sort of more interesting things are all of the people who are going to be off the ballot for future elections. Obviously, this is what happens every year, which is people, this is their first time on the ballot. They get no votes, so they're off the ballot. That's the way that works. And then Jeff Kent is the one guy who this was his 10th time on the ballot, which means that now he's off. Any names stick out to you that are first time on the ballot that are no longer going to be on the ballot?
I mean, in terms of what, like, personal, like, caring, like, obviously Matt Cain is always going to, like, tug at my heartstrings. But if you ask me, Matt Cain's a Hall of Famer, I'm going to say no.
No.
He's a Giants Hall of Famer, but not an MLB Hall of Famer.
Just for the perfect game, he's a Giants Hall of Famer.
Dude, yeah. Oh, I mean, he has bigger... I would say that's not even his biggest Giants, like...
True, yeah,
obviously, fair. Like, a perfect game's huge, but the guy won a bunch of World Series with the squad.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, dude, that perfect game, like, I'll always remember Matt Cain's perfect game when Gregor Blanco made the diving catch in center field. Like, that was the point where it was like, oh, he's going to get the perfect game. Because if you there's anything about a perfect game, if you watch one, there's a play.
Yep. Every time.
And once that play happens, you're like, okay, it's going to be perfect. Like,
yeah, this game's not stopping.
Yeah. No, this pitcher, like, they're just not getting a hit. It's just not happening. But, dude, Matt Cain, phenomenal career, especially the five-year stretch from, like, or four-year stretch, 2009, or you could throw in 2008, or I'll throw in 2007 even. 2007 to 2012, this guy was dominant, man. Like, that's two of the World Series years. They don't win it without Matt Cain. He was probably their second-best pitcher any given year. 2010, Lincecum being their best. 2012, Bumgarner probably being their best.
Yep.
Like, but Matt Cain was just the steady guy, dude. You always knew Matt Cain was going to go out, give you minimum six innings of good baseball. My dad used to always tell me Matt Cain was like the biggest victim of no run support.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody was ever hurt by a lack of run support in their career more than Matt Cain, just being a Giants fan. And obviously growing up, that's all I really watched. But yeah, dude, just shout out Matt Cain. Always in my heart.
Yeah. The couple that stick out to me, just as players that I remember seeing when they were really, really good. And I don't personally think that they are Hall of Famers, but it's just sort of, you know, it is still slightly sad to see them, you know, basically not going to get talked about. But Mike Napoli and R.A. Dickey.
R.A. Dickey. I didn't see that name.
Yeah. Mike Napoli had some of those, you know, those couple of really, really good years in Texas, but he really never was like an all-star for any more than just that one year, but just always like a solid guy. And I feel like he was just a name that I always heard. But R.A. Dickey, I remember, you know, I remember that Cy Young season was just unreal.
It was magical.
You know, yeah. Absolutely insane that, you know, this dude peaked in his mid to late 30s. And then
literally 37 years old, Cy Young.
Insane. And then immediately, you know, got picked up by the Blue Jays right after that and was, you know, obviously had a bit of a dip, was still really, really solid for his years in Toronto. And so I just have really fond memories of, you know, the fact that one of the best pitchers in the league was a straight up knuckleballer. And that was so awesome.
Dude, his breakout was something else too. Like, he very quickly became like must watch baseball.
Oh yeah, I mean, he went from kind of like this dude's really only in the league because it's a gimmick and he can kind of get away with it too. Oh whoa, he's like good.
Dude, my favorite part about R.A. Dickey is when he just throw that like 85 mile per hour fastball right down the middle.
Oh yeah, and it just doesn't move an inch, and it just freezes people. Because they're like, huh?
It would be dead center and just go right in.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because any other time he'd throw a knuckleball that would get one rotation on its way to the plate and it would, and that thing would wobble from, you know, full inside to outside. And
dude,
awesome.
Baseball's missing a knuckleball pitcher right now.
Dude, you need a good knuckleballer. Oh, that'd be
like, it's not baseball without at least one good knuckleballer.
Yeah, so.
Oh man.
To see that as a name off of future consideration. Not that I ever expected R.A. Dickey to be a Hall of Famer, but Hall of very fun to watch.
And I think the biggest thing about like R.A. Dickey and especially in R.A. Dickey more than the other guys, like, he's going to be a guy that, like, when I tell the story of baseball in my life, like, he's going to be a guy that I think of because he just was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And, like, Bartolo Colon, I think you throw in there. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
No, but, not at all.
Dude, you cannot tell me there was a more electric baseball moment than when he hit a home run.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Colon hitting a home run at Petco. Unreal. And then,
I witnessed my team win 3 World Series in 5 years, and Colon hitting a home run is the most electric thing.
Yeah. I mean, I just love, like, I mean, you know, we're talking about R.A. Dickey being able to freeze a hitter with an 85-mile-an-hour fastball. Colon would throw 30 consecutive fastball strikes, and none of them faster than 90.
But they would all hit the black.
Oh, like, yeah, but he would paint corners the whole time. And he threw basically only fastball variants. You know, he'd throw a two-seamer and then a four-seam and a little bit of a cutter here. Yeah, awesome. Love that. I love that style of pitching because it is so unique. And I think, like, we're sort of in a pitching era, at least right now, where the go-to is overpowering, right? It's how much velocity can you get? How much movement can you get?
It's all about the movement, all about the sliders. Like, having a sinker slider is, like, the go-to thing right now.
Yep. Yeah, but it's part of the reason why I have so much love for guys like Wainwright, who not an overpowering pitcher, kind of a pitch-to-contact guy, but just a good sinker baller pitcher. Or guys like Hyunjin Ryu, kind of similar, never going to blow you away with speed, but, you know, has good movement, has good stuff, always fun to watch.
I mean, it's even like Gausman, like, he's just so splitter-reliant, and you don't really see that a lot right now.
Yeah, which, you know, it's good to see, obviously, those styles of pitching can still be successful, which is nice.
Yeah.
And I think we're due for a resurgence of that.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about next?
I mean, well, I mean, we talked about R.A. Dickey in Toronto. We can talk a little bit about Toronto's ballpark, Rogers Center, which it just seems that in the last 3 years, Toronto just does not like staying in the same ballpark. So first they were banned from going back to Rogers Center because of COVID, and they couldn't play in Canada. And nobody could play in Canada. And so they were playing in Salem Field. They were playing at their, like, single-A ballpark and all that kind of stuff. Well, now that they've been back at Rogers Center for a nice full season, they've decided, we're going to change the dimensions. we're gonna switch it up. So they're bringing in some of the walls. The corners are going to stay the same distances, 328. But they're bringing in left center. They're bringing it in by, like, 7 feet. They're bringing in right center by 15 feet or something like that. Right center is going to get brought in a lot. That's where the bullpens are going to be now. They're, like, they've got, like, raised bullpens that are happening over there. So they're not just bringing them in arbitrarily, but they are bringing them in pretty far.
It's kind of like what the Giants did. They brought the fence in to put bullpens.
Yep, exactly. And then, you know, left center is barely being brought in. And then no change to straightaway center. The biggest difference that's going to happen is pretty much everything left center, right center is going to get raised. The wall height is jumping up, like, about 2 feet in most places, 4 feet in that right center wall where the bullpens are, because it's going to be, again, that raised thing. So 4 extra feet of wall. But dead center is actually getting dropped. So Rogers Center was one of the few parks that was uniform all the way around. It was a 10-foot wall post to post. And now they're joining sort of what a lot of other parks are doing, which is, like, they've got a higher wall in that right center where the bullpen is, and then it sort of drops down into, like, a little gap where in straightaway center, and then, you know, picks up in the corners and stuff. So
I like the center field part.
Yeah, I like the center field part. I like the fact that it's getting a little shorter. It just makes it kind of interesting. Yeah. But I also did really like the fact that it was a uniform wall all the way around. It just looks nice.
See, I feel like I have the, like, opposite reaction to a uniform ball. I see it and I'm like, there's no, like, it's just boring. There's no, like, something that makes it, like, oh, I want to go see Toronto. Like, you get me? Like,
yeah, and I guess
add some more unique features to it.
Right, but it's interesting, right? Because it's funny because it's unique by not being unique, right? In the sense that because baseball does not have super strictly defined dimensions for the outfields. Most stadiums are weirdly shaped. You get a weird triples alley in San Francisco. You get a giant left field wall at Fenway. Right? You get all of these oddities in ballparks. That is the standard. A normal, quote unquote, normal MLB ballpark has weird deformities.
Yeah.
So when Toronto in Rogers Center has foul pole to foul pole 10 foot straight away across walls, that is unique to the MLB. That's not normal for most ballparks anymore, for most modern parks, which was something that I liked about it. I actually kind of liked the fact that it was weirdly uniform. Not that I dislike the fact that they're changing the dimensions and making them a little bit more interesting, adding some stuff out there.
So, question.
Yeah.
Last year, we know the year before, the Blue Jays had to play some games in the AAA ballpark, right? Do you think, because that ballpark we found out was very hitter friendly, right?
And a
lot of home runs there. Do you think a couple of them came back to Toronto's field and was like, hey, can we like move these walls in a bit?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't really believe that.
I don't think it's 100% just that, but I think a little bit of it definitely had to do because, like, the Blue Jays definitely are, like, more of a power-hitting team than not.
I mean, they were. Actually funny. They're less of a power-hitting team now.
Yeah, but I'd say, like, when you compare them to most rosters,
they're more
often than not, you're going to say they're more of a power-hitting team than that.
Definitely.
Other rosters. So, like, I mean, I don't see how this is a negative to them. I mean, some of their pitchers might not be the biggest fan of it.
Yeah, but I'm a little scared for a certain Berrios.
Yeah, Berrios.
Berrios got slapped around a lot, and he did not need any help.
For
that to be worse.
How close are you to saying Berrios in Toronto is just like a failed experiment?
Not yet. I think what was weird about Berrios last season, to tangent into that, is for the most part he passed a lot of the eye test. Like, you would watch him pitch and you'd be like, wow, I mean, the stuff looks good, and then he would just get crushed off of like a good pitch, seemingly way more than everybody else. And so I don't know if it was just a throwing the wrong things at the wrong time kind of deal, in the sense of maybe he's just getting predictable, because like, I don't know. Like, I remember there was a couple where, like, dude threw a breaking ball, like, a foot, like, under the zone and got it crushed for a home run. It's just like, dude, that's a good pitch. Like, that's a really good pitch. How does that get absolutely destroyed? And it's like, is he tipping it? No, I doubt he's tipping it. I think he's just either being predictable or, you know, something else. Who knows? Giving it away.
I mean, in some he's way. About to be 29. Like, he still has a long,
dude's still super young,
time to figure it out.
Dude's still under Jay's control for a while. I think that some people would probably say that, like, this is his make or break season. He's got to either be good this season or he's gone. But the Blue Jays right now have a rotation that can afford to have Berrios not be phenomenal. Still have Bassett. You still have Manoa. You still have Gausman. You're going to get Hyunjin Ryu back. You've got a really solid rotation, whether or not Berrios is a top three in it. And so I think
I don't know if I couldn't hop on board with that thought process, though, because, like, I get what you're saying. Like, you can hide him in the rotation because you have some better players. But, like, the goal of this team is to win a World Series.
Obviously.
And you don't win a World Series with a guy like that.
Look, obviously, you want five great pitchers. That is the goal. Yes.
And I think something that's important to note about Berrios is, like, last year is the outlier of his career.
Yeah.
Other than his
absolutely.
Rookie year, obviously, but you're a rookie. But last year was the outlier. So, like, I'd bet on him figuring it out. I mean, he has four seasons with under a 4 ERA, one exactly out of four. And then last season out of 5.2, it's like things just weren't falling his way.
Yeah.
But I mean, dude, his whip was way up last year. Like,
it was way up. And his strikeouts were way down. And I mean, obviously, part of that's just when you get hit around. Like, that's what happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to say that this upcoming season is sort of the make or break for him. I think that he's it's probably the next two seasons for
me. Yeah, I would say he has two years. If he's got two. Because, dude, if he has that same year he had last year again, like...
That's rough.
Yeah, it's rough, but you're like, okay, we're going to give it one more go because, dude, he's not 30 yet. Like, he still has potential, right?
Yep.
And then if he has a rough start, maybe you move him, or maybe you not honestly even DFA him at that point. If
you probably just DFA him and hope that he figures it out.
I don't think you have to worry about Jose Berrios. I think it'll end up.
And I don't think so either. I mean, even last season in the thick of him being pretty bad, I was on his side as far as being like, he doesn't look that bad. That's the thing. It's weird. It's a weird season. Like, he doesn't look like he's like, it's not like he's totally missing his spots. It's not like he's out here walking people like crazy. Like, he actually had better walk numbers than he has in a lot of seasons in his career. Like, he had one of his best seasons as far as like not walking people. But he gave up a lot more home runs. He gave up, you know, he was just getting hit around a lot more. And it was kind of odd because you were like, wow, he's hitting his spots. He's throwing good pitches. He's just getting hit. And so, yeah, I think that he bounces back next year. And I think even if he doesn't, he's got 2024 to do that as well. So hoping for the best, though. But yeah, these park dimensions probably don't help.
Yeah. Well, speaking of hoping for the best, Angels fans can no longer do that.
No. Angels fans, this one hurts.
I would be so mad. Like, you have just like poor ownership in Los Angeles, getting into like bad contracts, letting down Mike Trout, letting down Otani. You finally get news like, hey, we're going to sell the team.
Yep.
They're fielding offers. Some of the offers are looking good. Like, there were some really big names in on those offers, one being Joe Lacob, who owns the Golden State Warriors. Like, some serious players trying to buy the Angels. And last minute just is like, I'll keep them. Like, bro.
Yep. Angels ownership decides, you know what? We ain't
like
selling.
Otani's gone next year. You have to realize that. Like, oh, dude, I feel so bad for Mike Trout. Honestly, like, it's not even like I feel sad for Mike Trout, and then I feel a different type of sad just for any baseball fan, because we're not getting to see prime Mike Trout play in the playoffs. Like, the first time I see Mike Trout play in the playoffs, this guy's 38, I'm going to lose my mind.
Dude, yeah. The lack of postseason Trout is depressing.
Yeah, bro.
That's so rough. Like,
I've talked about it a couple times on this podcast about how, like, we have Otani fatigue already, right? And, like, people are, like, not realizing how great he is just because, like, we've seen it.
Yep.
Dude, we are so far past that with Mike Trout.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, we were just talking before the podcast and we realized this guy played 119 games last year, had a .283 batting average, had an OPS of .999 with 40 bombs.
Yeah.
Dude, that is the quietest phenomenal season I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that season went super under the radar.
Yeah, like, we knew Mike Trout was good, but that season wasn't good. Like, we knew he had a good season, right? Because, like, they were good early on, he was dominant. But, like, dude, that's a phenomenal season.
Yeah. It is, it's wild. Trout is such an insane talent. It's just not fair.
Dude, he is... I've never seen a baseball... Like, dude, we talk about these other guys being so good. Like, Yordan Alvarez, like, such a good hitter. Aaron Judge is kind of the counterpoint to my argument, to a point where, like, Mike Trout's also dominant defensively. Aaron Judge is pretty good defensively.
He's all right. Yeah.
Aaron Judge definitely ranks out really well. And, I mean, so does Mookie Betts. So, I guess my point doesn't fully make sense. But, dude, Mike Trout.
Trout's carrying a career average of a .303 with an OPS over 1.0. That's so stupid.
And, like, he already has 350 bombs. Like, dude, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that's crazy. Imagine having that dude, like, on your team and losing.
This guy could, like, we're seriously looking at, like, a Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders situation where we see one of the best players of our generation just go like, bro, I can't do this anymore.
I'm
playing for the Detroit Lions in baseball. Like, I gotta get out of here.
It was pretty soul crushing when Megatron hung it up early.
Oh, yeah. This would hurt way more.
I don't know. Man, that would, dude. I don't think Trout would do that. I think he's a little bit. He's just a different kind of person.
He really does.
Yeah. But good God, could you imagine?
To be fair, dude, nobody saw Calvin Johnson retiring when he did.
Oh no, certainly not.
And even when he did, it was rumored for like 5 years that he was coming back.
Oh yeah, because he was that freakish of an athlete that you were like, yeah, he could. He totally could. The dude could come back after 3 years of not playing football and be top five wide receiver in the league.
Yeah. I think the difference is the money in baseball versus the money in football. Like, Trout's making a lot more money than Calvin Johnson was.
Trout's making a lot more money and also not getting absolutely hit in the head over and over and over and over again.
This is also true.
Turns out CTE a lot less prevalent in baseball.
Dude, since not including his rookie year, Trout's worst offensive WAR season is a 2.2. And that's only because he only played 36 games that year.
Yeah, and his other lowest is the COVID year, is 2020.
Yeah,
the
where he played 53 games. Like, bro, you take those seasons out. His worst offensive WAR season is last year's 6.3, and we just talked about how insane those stats are.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Dude, I don't know why I'm talking about Otani fatigue when we have Mike Trout who exists.
Man.
Like, this guy is... Bro, I'm even more mad the Angels aren't selling now. I am heated.
It's gotta suck to be an Angels fan.
I don't... They're like Oakland A's fans. They just don't exist anymore.
Man,
bro. Baseball's in a really weird situation.
Yeah. Well, right now. Yeah, I mean, if we want to jump into this last sort of major topic, because guess what? This one also affects the Angels. So Bally Sports, who owns the regional sports networks for 14 different MLB teams. So that basically means all of the regional sports broadcasting for these 14 teams is owned by Bally Sports.
Essentially half the league.
Yeah, basically half the league. They're bankrupt, by the way. So that's really bad. That basically means that you've got 14 MLB teams who are kind of in limbo as far as their broadcasting rights for regional sports network. Those 14 teams, if you're wondering, are the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Atlanta Braves, the Cincinnati Reds, the Cleveland Guardians, Detroit Tigers, Kansas City Royals, Los Angeles Angels, Miami Marlins, Milwaukee Brewers, Minnesota Twins, St. Louis Cardinals, San Diego Padres, Tampa Bay Rays, and the Texas Rangers are all regionally sport networked through Bally, and Bally just went bankrupt. So super bad for MLB broadcasting.
This has potential though to not be that bad, and the reason for that is we keep talking about how bad blackouts are, right? And everything's blacked out because of the network landscape and how it works. This is a possibility for the MLB to just be like, hey, we're going to try taking this back over. They need to take over the rights for these teams, put them on MLB TV, and don't black them out.
Yeah.
Like,
so
let anybody watch them. Sell ads.
So
like, instead of just going MLB TV on break, sell ads to fill that space. Like,
sure. So this is sort of where the problem sort of comes in with that. And it's the reason that I'm a little less confident in that is... Basically, what the problem now is that we don't actually know who is going to wind up with those regional sport networks. We don't know. We have no idea who's going to get the rights to those games. So, you know, there's the potential that those games straight up don't have a regional broadcast. Like, that is a possibility. I mean, I don't really think that that's really gonna happen. I think
I would say
someone,
that's very unlikely.
Someone's gonna pick them up, but I don't think that, you know, but still, it is technically a possibility. But the biggest problem is that Bally being bankrupt means that the teams are out money as well. And the teams aren't just gonna eat those losses. You know, the teams have to get that money back somehow. So whether the teams get that money back via, who knows, some sort of streaming deal or who knows what, really the person that this ends up hurting, the people that it ends up hurting, are just baseball fans. Like, someone has to eat that money, and it's gonna be fans. Like, we just, like, we can assume that out the gate. Like, there's no shot that an MLB team exec is gonna be like, yeah, we'll cover that.
Well, yeah, but there's potential. Like, MLB, like, the commissioner's office could step in and make this a great situation. And,
could.
I mean, obviously, could is a big could,
oh, yeah.
Right?
That's like, a huge could.
But, dude, we talk about how, like, baseball needs to take steps into the modern world. This is an opportunity. Like, I hope they take it. I'm not confident they will, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is super new news, so bankruptcy still has to go through courts, and, you know, courts can figure out who's responsible for money, yada, yada, yada. So, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, yeah, we have to wait to see what courts say, and we have to see how, you know, how well the MLB responds to the fact that your regional sports network revenue as a source has just been completely thrown out of whack. So, does the MLB just shrug it, take the hit, take the loss, do whatever, and just, you know, kind of keep going as usual, or at least, or maybe take the opportunity, kind of as you're saying, to be better,
grow the game.
Yeah, grow the game, do something like that, or does it get bad? You know,
yeah.
Who knows?
And honestly, it going bad is probably the most likely outcome.
I know, but which is
gotta be optimistic.
Hey, you know what, though? You know what the best part about this is? None of the teams listed are the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, or the Giants. We're good, baby. Woo!
Let's be honest. Like, 90% of those teams don't matter. Like, the Cardinals, Padres, Guardians.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason, right, that they have a regional sports network deal that is not a regional broadcaster, right? Like, it's, you know, it's like the reason why, like, the Mets are under SNY Sports New York, because it's New York. Of course they got their own.
Like, yeah. And I mean, like, the Giants and A's are both under NBC Sports Bay Area.
Exactly. So, you know, most of those teams have their actual proper regional coverage. Other ones got it bought through Bally, and it's going to potentially hit them pretty hard. So yeah, not great, but
let's we'll change see. The mood up.
Oh,
play a quick game, light a candle.
Oh,
I'm gonna
baby.
Take you on a date.
Alrighty then.
So we're bringing back a game we used to play where it was like, guess the stat line.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you a player's batting average, an OPS, their home runs, and what hand they hit with, like handiness. You get
okay.
Me?
Okay.
And then if we're not going, I'll give you position, and then maybe I'll give you league, even AL, NL, that kind
of
stuff. And
all right,
we'll go from there. So I have an easy, a medium, hard. Which mode do you want to start off with?
I mean, look, we just ramp it up. Let's start easy.
Okay. I must say, if you don't get this one, it's going to be sad.
All right.
Sad day.
Yeah. No,
sad,
that's fair. That's fair.
So in 2022, this player batted .274. Had an OPS of .818, had 32 home runs, and they bat right-handed.
818. What was the average? You said
274.
274. 818. Yep. Bats right-handed. I'm going to assume that, you're making this easy, so it's got to be somebody near and dear to my... Is it Joe Panic?
yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. That's the answer. That's the answer to all of these. It's Joe Panic.
He may
Panic,
bat
baby.
Left-handed. He may bat left-handed, but
he batted righty. That's why he only hit 32 home runs.
That's why he had a good season, because he just bats lefty, so people think he's not good.
No, that's not. It's not going to be Joe Panik.
It is.
Although I would wager it's from a team that Joe Panik has played for.
Maybe.
No, I'm pretty sure I know. I'm pretty sure I know who it is. I think that this is the mildly disappointing to some. I think it's just still a decent season of Vladdy.
Yeah, it's definitely Vladdy last year.
Yep.
I mean, it's hard to say that's a disappointing season.
Right,
but
some people were like considering this like the death knell of Vladdy's career because it was such a fall from 2021. Like, obviously, he had an MVP caliber 2021, and everyone's like, oh my God, Vladdy is terrible now. And it's like, just still a good season.
I think what people fail to realize sometimes is the 2021 season Vlad had of a 311 batting average, 1.02 and 48 home runs. That's a generational season that a lot of people only have once in their career. And that's not to say Vladdy can never do it again. He has all the potential.
Right.
But if you told me Vladdy's career average looks like 2022, I'd be like, yeah that makes sense.
Solid.
And he's a great player. Like,
yeah. And he's given you, you know, pretty solid defense at first. Yeah. Like, but yeah, 2021, literally the only reason he didn't win the MVP because Otani existed. Like, literally the only reason.
It is what it is.
Yeah. So not surprising. But yeah, that was fairly easy.
Keep going.
Yeah,
that was easy. It was easy. You got to start at easy.
Yeah.
Okay. So medium, this guy last year in 2022 had a 266 batting average. A 784 OPS, and he hit 17 home runs. This player is a switch hitter.
266, but a 784. And
a 266.
Switch hitter.
Yeah.
And getting only
funky with you.
Only 17 home runs. That feels low for 784.
It is not his career high. I'll give you his career high home runs for one season. In 2019, this player hit 37 home runs.
Whoa. What? Wait a minute. Huh?
That may have done more harm than good.
That's a lot of home runs. Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. That's, huh. Oh, I got to think about this now.
That last little information kind of broke you, huh?
Man, because I was thinking of like somebody like Real Muto has similar numbers.
But Real Muto's not a switch hitter.
No, he's not. I know.
That's what makes it tough, man. Switch hitters are hard to think about. Because like I go to Francisco Liriano. Wait. Francisco Lindor.
Lindor?
Liriano.
Wait a minute.
No, Liriano the pitcher was the switch hitter.
Yeah. I mean, hey, there are switch hitter pitchers. Those exist. Switch hitter's hard because like I'm just trying to think of more switch hitters. There's surprisingly not as many that I'm like thinking about.
Do you want the position he plays?
Sure.
He is a first baseman, which probably isn't helpful.
That's not helpful. Well, actually, no. Hold on. Actually, that might be helpful because most first basemen, I feel like, slug better than that.
This is true. And I will also give you
this. And also, there's
not
that many switch hitting first baseman. Hold on.
I will give you this piece of information as well. He played for two teams last year.
Okay. Oh.
And he was a free agent and signed with a new team this year.
Oh, you're not going to tell me that new team. No way.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Played for two teams last year. First baseman played for two teams this year. Who heck played for two teams? Feel like I should know. That should be a massive hint, and I don't know why it's not clicking.
And he was traded at the deadline. Yes. He was actually not the main piece of his trade. I love this. Would you like to know what teams he played on last year?
No.
Okay.
Hold on.
Oh.
Would you like to know his stat line from each team? Not the teams he played for.
I think I know who it is.
Oh.
Did he play any first base on his new team? Because I don't think he did, if it's who I think
I don't have the positional splits in front of me, but he may not have. Oh, he did play 21 games at first for his new team.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe it's not Bell. Did Bell play any first base for San Diego?
He played 21 games at first base.
Oh, is it Josh Bell?
Yes, it is Josh Bell.
Okay. Wow, I didn't realize Josh Bell hit 37 home runs in 2019. Like, I remember his 2019 season being good. I don't remember being that good.
With Pittsburgh, and the year before that, he had 31 home runs, and the year before that, he had 26. Like, this guy, Josh Bell with the Pirates.
No, I remember he lit it up on the Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason that he
was that guy.
Yeah, there's a reason the Nationals jumped on him.
I just want to point out, last year when he was on the Nationals for 100 games, he had an 877 OPS, and then the 50 games with the Padres, he had a 587 OPS.
That's rough.
Wow. The dude went to San Diego and forgot how to hit. But guess what? He's going to the Guards, baby. He's going to relearn how to hit.
Guardians now. Wow, that was a tough one. I was like running through all of the like first basemans in my head. Because I was because it's not going to be like Goldie or Freeman or somebody like that. Because those averages are way too high and that's just not going to happen. So I'm like, who's a low average first baseman? I say low. I mean, 260.
Yeah. No, I get you.
But I was like, the heck? I was like, Pete Alonso. And then I was like, Pete Alonso's not a switch hitter.
you ready for the hard one?
Sure. And I'm just going to start throwing players out for this one.
Yeah. Hey, go for it. I'm going to probably give you the position off the bat for this one.
Oh, no.
So batting average is 242.
Oh, come OPS, that's so bad.
OPS is 804.
Oh, okay, sure. Okay,
and he had 36 home runs.
36.
And he plays first base. Just all first baseman today.
36 home runs, first baseman with a low average. let me think.
I'm not gonna
Hoskins,
lie, this one's kinda
Hoskins
rude.
Hit a lot. Reese Hoskins. He hit a bunch. I don't think he hit that many, though.
Also, that is incorrect, but let me look up his numbers. I think he played a lot of first last year as well. I mean, a lot of outfield. Sorry.
Yeah, he did play a lot of outfield, but I know he's listed as like a...
He hit 30 home runs, so just six shy.
Matt Olson?
Oh, actually, he played 151 games. No, this guy is right-handed.
Oh, right. Matt Olson still had a good season, though.
Matt Olson, great season.
He did have a good season. Oakland legend.
Yes, Oakland legend.
Oakland legend. Spaceman. You wouldn't give me another Padres. It's not Drury, because Drury's the one I was thinking of when I was like, oh, Bell didn't play any first base in San Diego, because Drury was playing San Diego.
Yeah,
I don't think Drury played.
It is not Drury. This guy DH'd for 11 games, if that helps.
No, first baseman DH all the time. It's like one of the most hot swappable positions in baseball.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I would never give you useless information.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really good.
You want some more useless information?
Hold on. DHing first baseman. What? Rowdy Tellez?
No, he is not.
Rowdy hit a lot of home runs. Didn't Rowdy hit? How many home runs did
Rowdy
you say? 36?
36, yes.
Didn't Rowdy hit like 30? 36?
Let's see how much Rowdy Tellez hit.
He hit a lot.
Rowdy Tellez.
He was good.
35 home runs.
Okay.
Good year.
Hey,
he had a 219 average. Lower average, lower OPS. But good
year. I mean, that sounds like Rowdy. That sounds about right.
And he's lefty, so.
That's true. And he's a lefty.
I must say, this one's just kind of rude. Like, I would never get this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's what other first baseman hit that many home runs?
This guy plays in the National League.
That's, I mean,
cut it in half for you.
It's moderately helpful. Because then, yeah, because I mean, like, I think of, like, not Pete.
Yeah,
Pete Alonso. Pilon.
He debuted as a rookie for the Baltimore Orioles, which I would have never known
that
if I was looking
help
at his baseball
me.
Reference.
That doesn't help anybody. That doesn't... No. What?
I think my favorite part about this is just giving useless information.
Yeah, none of that's helpful. He debuted for the Orioles. Wow. Oh, yeah, because I know all of the Orioles rookies that are not named Adley Rutschman.
So in 2021, this player played 115 games and only hit 10 home runs.
Huh? What? Hold on. So they went from 10 to what, 36?
Yes. And their batting average was actually 2 points better in the 10 home run season.
So weird. So what, like a contact hitter that like reinvented themselves as a power?
Well,
I guess not really
average.
A contact
Don't say
hitter.
Contact.
Yeah, not really a contact hitter, but I guess more of like a just not good hitter who found power.
He actually won a gold glove at first base in 2022.
Wait, that actually kind of helps. Hold on. I got to remember all the gold glove winners because it was... No, Goldie didn't win a gold. And it wouldn't have been Goldie anyway. It can't be Goldie anyway. Goldie had a way better season than that. Goldie was almost the average champ. He was almost the batting champ. Of course, it's not freaking Goldie. Stupid. NL. It's not. We already said it wasn't Olsen. We know it's. I know it's not. Like. Christian Walker? The D-backs guy that I think
yes.
I said at some point in this podcast, not this podcast, but in a previous one, that I think I missaid that he was a shortstop, which was funny.
That's hilarious.
I think but I missed.
Yes.
Wow.
Christian Walker.
Yeah.
That was, I told you this one
he
was kind of.
He hit so many home runs. I knew he had a good season. Like, I remember bringing it up because he was, like, he had kind of an okay start to the season. And then he had, like, a chunk of time.
Best player on the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, and then he just had a chunk of time where he was, like, absolutely absurd.
I just love my useless information that he debuted for the Orioles.
He debuted for the Orioles, dude. Awesome. That's, like, super helpful. That really narrows it down to, like, that's like saying he's played for the Rays at some point. Okay.
Okay. Well,
everyone has.
It's my turn to be miserable, so go for it.
Ah, yes.
You got your own game.
I too have my own game. This is a sort of common-ish one. We've kind of played a similar one, so at least we've seen ones like this. Ooh. Which is, I'm going to give you a list of teams that a player has played for, as well as their current team, currently on. These are all active players.
Do I get a position or no? Oh, wait, no, they're currently, don't.
No, they're all currently in the league, and I'm going to give you their current teams. Yeah. So
can you at least say pitcher or like position player?
Yeah, okay. I can say pitcher or batter. That's not too bad. I'm gonna start you off with a super easy one. You shouldn't miss this one. This is a batter.
Oh,
this is a position.
That scares me.
This is a position player.
Okay.
Played for the Rays. Because, you know, we gotta start in Tampa, right? You know. Then played for the Giants. Then he played for the D-backs.
Evan Longoria.
It is indeed Evan Longoria. And I say played for the D-backs, and I realize that that's
kind
of wrong.
I was about to say.
He's going to play for the D-backs. but I couldn't really say that. Well, yeah, current team. I should just say current team D-backs. But yeah, that's an easy one. It's Evan Longoria. Yeah. Let's see.
Man, I did not. I got that one too fast. That gives me some false confidence.
Oh, yeah. You want me to do another player who's played for the Rays? At some point?
Easy to hard. Let's go easy to hard.
Okay, we can go easy to hard. Okay, we can go easy to hard. This player played for the Dodgers, then played for the Cubs, then for the Braves.
Jock Peterson.
His current team is the Giants. That is Jock Peterson. Get some easy ones. Damn. I'm getting you ones that have touched the Giants.
Yep.
In fact, a lot of these have touched the Giants. So
close to home.
Yeah. I kept a lot of these as players that have touched the Giants because that's, you know, that's fun. That's... It makes it a
love
little
touching
easier.
People.
Yeah, we love touching Giants. let's see. Let's get one that has not touched the Giants. This player played for the Texas Rangers and played for the Cubs And now for the Padres.
Pitcher, batter, did you pitcher. Say? Okay, Cubs. Wait, you said Rangers?
Rangers, Cubs, Padres.
Yu Darvish?
This is Yu Darvish. Another relatively easy one.
Oh.
Yeah?
I'm doing good for now.
You're doing good on that one. You're doing good on that one. This will be the last, I think, easier one.
Oh, man.
I'm going to give you another one a little closer to home. This player played for the Braves. This is a position player. Played for the Braves. Then played for the Cubs. Then for the Angels. Then for the A's. And now for the Giants.
Wait, say the order again. Braves?
Braves, Cubs, Angels, A's, Giants.
Can you do a quick Google search and tell me if this guy was recently DFA'd? Because I think it's Tommy La Stella.
You would be correct. It is Tommy La Stella.
Yeah, he was DFA'd. He's not.
He was DFA'd.
Get him out of here.
Hey, whoa, hey now. Hey now. Hey now.
That dude was doo-doo on the Giants.
I know, but it was funny, and I was like, wow, he actually made the rounds. He was in a whole bunch of places.
He has been around. I was kind of stuck for a little bit there.
Yeah. Let's do another one who's ended up in your division.
Okay.
This player started off with the Angels. And then...
Wait, position pitcher?
Position.
Okay.
Started off with the Angels. And then went to where everyone goes to. The Tampa Bay Rays. Because, of course. then went to the Twins. Then went to the Tigers. And is currently a Rocky.
Rocky and was on the Tigers. Oh, that's gonna be hard. Dude, I don't know if I can even tell you like three guys who are position players on the Rockies.
That are currently on the Rockies.
I got like Chris Bryant, I got Charlie Blackman, and I think I'm done. I got Rogers. Dude, I don't know who that is.
No idea? Come on.
Okay, wait. Currently on the Rockies, who was he on before the Rockies?
Before the Rockies, he was on the Detroit Tigers.
That's not helpful.
No, it's not helpful. It's not helpful at all.
Is this like a name I know?
Oh, yeah.
Like
you should know. You should know.
I should know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bro, this is hard. How long has he been on the Rockies for?
He's been on the Rockies. I can answer that. He's been on the Rockies for a couple of years.
Couple of years. He's been around. Oh. Did you say the Angels are one of the teams?
I did say the Angels.
It's their first baseman, CJ Cron.
It is CJ Cron.
Holy shit.
I cannot believe you ended up on that one. That's good. That's a good one. So Cron was actually one of the ones that made me want to do this because I was like,
yeah,
because I was looking at I don't remember how exactly I trailed into looking at different players, but he just was on like four teams in like 4 years. He just kept moving. I was like, whoa.
Dude, yeah, that's okay. Wild. Yeah, no, you said couple years, and I was trying to think who's had some like good years in the Rockies recently, and he had like a pretty good year last year, year before, yeah. Recently.
No, he's been solid. CJ Cron's been good.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it was last year, 2021. He had a 905 OPS. Dude was
dude's
solid.
Good.
Dude was solid. Yeah. All right, I got two more. And these are the ones that have been on the most teams. That's the fun ones. This one should be easy. This one should be easy, but he's been on a lot of teams. Started off a Blue Jay. Then went to
position
the Giants.
Position player or pitcher?
Position player. Then went to the Giants. Then to the Red Sox. Then to the Rockies. Then to the Mets. Now for the Braves.
Is this guy a starter?
No.
Okay.
Ooh, I missed the team. Sorry. Dodgers, then Braves.
Dodgers, then Braves. Man, dude, this is hard. Would you tell me what year he played for the Giants?
For the Giants?
Yeah.
I can tell you what year he played for the Giants. 2019.
Oh, wow. You said a lot of teams after. That's not that long ago. 2019. Who was on the 2019 Giants? Position player.
Position player. Started off with the Blue Jays, then to the Giants, then Red Sox, Rockies, Mets, Dodgers, Braves.
Dude, who is this guy? I'm like going through the Braves roster and none of these, like, Duvall just left. None of those guys were on the Giants. Would you give me a...
Okay, so, 2019. I can tell you.
Quick question. Did he play at all during the COVID year, the 2020 season?
Yes.
Okay, so there was...
Okay. And I can also say he, like, literally just signed with the Braves, and I think that the Braves actually technically signed into a minor league deal. So...
Okay. 2020 Giants. Going through my head... Yeah, I don't think it's any of the outfielders because all those guys are either there or haven't been on that many teams.
Oh, he played. Sorry, he played the 2020 season, not the 2020 Giants season.
He didn't play for the Giants in 2020?
No, just 2019.
Oh, what? Dude, I am completely lost.
I am shocked that you did not get this.
Okay, wait. Can you give me a position? Or center is that field. That's probably center field. Oh, definitely not where I was thinking. I think one of the Giants catchers.
No. Although technically I think also played some right field, but mostly center.
And he was on the 2019 Giants?
Yes, sir.
Who was the Giants center fielder in 2019?
2019 Giants stat line. He hit 264, OPS 735, hit 21 home runs.
Kevin Pillar?
It's Kevin Pillar.
Oh my God. I would have never got that until you said the stat line. He signed with the Braves?
He signed with the Braves like super recently, and I think they signed him technically to a minor league deal. But yeah, he's on the Braves.
Wasn't he in like Korea last year, or am I crazy?
No, he was on the Dodgers.
That was Talkman last year.
Yeah, no, he was on the Dodgers, but he was on the Dodgers minor league team for a really he was in like AAA for the Dodgers. He played like four games for the Dodgers, which is why I originally forgot that he played for them.
That's so rude.
Oh yeah, it's rough. It's super rough.
Dude, I was thinking it was like one of the catchers because they like went through a bunch of catchers.
They did go through a lot of catchers. But yeah, no, Pillar only played the one season.
I'm pretty sure what's his face plays on the Braves, Chadwick Tromp.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't play on those other teams. Like, that's why I was so confused.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I just remember Pillar was really funny because he went Jays, Giants, Red Sox. He toured all of our three teams like immediately.
Oh my, dude.
Yeah.
That's a trip.
Yeah. That's
okay. You said you have one more?
I had one more. This is the player that made me want to do this because I remember wondering where they ended up because they were on the Jays at one point. And I was like, where'd this guy end up? And then I got into digging to where he started. And he's toured the league a little bit. This is a position player who started off with the Colorado Rockies. He then went to the Tampa Bay Rays, as every player does. He was then in Pittsburgh with the Pirates, then to the Phillies, then to the Marlins, then to the Blue Jays, then to the Cardinals, and he will play next year for the Nationals.
Did he just sign with the Nationals?
Yeah. So, yeah, he signed this offseason with the Nationals.
And he played last year with the Cardinals?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Position player. Cardinals. The problem is the Nationals needed everything.
Yeah, they needed everything. That's not super helpful.
honestly, if you asked me if the Nationals signed one free agent, I probably would have said no.
Honestly, is... fair.
Was this a major league contract?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This was a major league contract. Do you want the contract? I'll even give you the contract.
Sure.
This was it's a major league 1 year $2.25 million contract.
That
it's not helpful, is it?
Does he left-handed or right-handed?
He's
position,
a lefty,
maybe.
He's a lefty.
Hmm.
He's an outfielder.
Lefty outfielder. Okay, he played on the Cards last year.
Played on the Cards last year. You know what? I'll give you a full breakdown of his career. He started off 3 years in Colorado, played a couple years in Tampa, then a year in Pittsburgh, and then mid-2019 got moved from Pittsburgh to Philly, 2020 to Miami, and then 2021 split between Miami and Toronto, and then played 2022 for St. Louis, and now is on the Nationals.
I'm gonna be very honest.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no clue who this
This was the reason that I did this one last. There was no way that you were gonna get this one, but it was I just remember him playing on the Jays, and I remember him, I was like, oh, he was kind of good for the Jays, and I wonder where he ended up.
Yeah, that is absurd.
Yeah, oh no, totally toured the world. That is Corey Dickerson.
That's wild.
Yeah, super crazy.
That's a baseball player.
That is a baseball player. But
that is true.
Yep. Yeah, no, he was a deadline pickup for the Jays in 2021, and he batted .282, 779 OPS. He's pretty serviceable. And then he went to St. Louis and played a decent amount.
That is absurd.
Yeah, you weren't going to get that one.
Heck no.
Hey, you got the easy ones. I'm proud of you. You got Tommy La Stella, which that one, fair enough. That one.
I had current Giants. I got it on lock.
Hey, Giants.
Recently,
current Giants?
Recently current.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, not
I know,
Kevin Pillar.
I know my roster. I know my roster right now.
Hey,
that's 4 years ago, big guy.
That's 4 years ago. But that's recent. Come on.
No, it is. It is. But like, bro, that's. I mean, one season, that's a rough one for
you. It's also my boy Kevin Pillar right there. You better not trash about my boy Kevin.
That is your boy. That is, in fact, your boy. So I think we're running out of time. So really quick.
Yep.
Playoff predictions. Who's winning this week? Who's winning the Super Bowl? NFL.
Ooh, man. That's tough.
First game up, Niners-Eagles, what you feeling?
I'm feeling... It's, you know what? It's funny. So I would have predicted that it was going to be Niners-Eagles anyway, but I did not think the Eagles would show up quite as hard as they did last week. The Eagles ripped the Giants apart. It was kind of depressing.
It was disgustingly bad for the Giants.
It was super, super, so... It was so sad. I think that the Niners edge this one out because I think their defense outperforms, and I think that their offense just does enough.
Yes. Yeah. So for me on this game, I mean, the Eagles and the Niners are the two best defenses of the four teams left, right? Both these teams incredibly good defensively. Both these teams position players, like the skill positions on offense, incredibly talented.
So good.
The main difference in these teams to me, you have Brock Purdy versus Jalen Hurts. And I'm taking Jalen Hurts every day of the week over a rookie. And, like, dude, the whole, like, Mr. Irrelevant part, I don't care. Like, the guy could be undrafted. Like,
doesn't matter.
Why are we giving this guy, more juice just because he was the last pick of the draft versus an undrafted player? Like,
yeah.
I don't care. Like,
yeah.
He's a rookie. He can make mistakes. Like, he hasn't made a mistake yet. I'm not saying he's going to blow up tomorrow. It just, I think the Eagles are so good.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Absurdly good.
I think they're really good too. You know, I just think, Purdy has shown so far that he's good. He's solid. So like he can get it done. I mean, his postseason stat line is kind of super impressive. So
yeah,
So
I got Eagles. You got Niners.
I got Niners.
What are you feeling for Chiefs Bengals?
Honestly, I almost just don't care. Like this one, I just want to see good football and I think I'm going to get it.
I just want a good shootout.
I just want an absolute shootout. I am interested to see if Mahomes is at 100%. Dude had a pretty rough ankle sprain.
Nasty ankle injury, yeah.
Yeah, that was a really rough one. I mean, he came back and finished that game. He was out for a little bit. If Mahomes is at 100%, it is hard to ever really vote against him, but
he had a high ankle sprain. That guy is not 100%.
Yeah, I know. I don't think he's 100%, but you can fake it to like 95.
Dude,
so
most people usually take 3 or 4 weeks off for a high ankle sprain, and this guy is back the next week.
He's
that
back
is
the next week.
Wild.
But yeah, that being said, still hard to count him out. I am going to edge this one for the Bengals. I like my boy Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bengals too. You know me, I can't root for the Chiefs or the Niners. And if I get another Chiefs Niners Super Bowl like this close together, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Being a Raiders fan, that is absolute worst case scenario. Chiefs Niners.
That is a bad Super Bowl for you. Yeah, that's rough. That's not absolute. Good. You don't want that one.
I am down horrendous if that happens. But this has been a solid duo episode. We don't need Noah. I'm just kidding. We love you, Noah. We miss you. We'll see him back soon.
Yeah, he'll be back.
We're lost without him. Just a bunch of little puppies not knowing how to navigate the world.
Yeah, totally.
And with that, we'll see you guys in a week.
2 weeks.
Or 2 weeks.
Probably 2 weeks.
Some point in time. Probably 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably two. It's not really anything. I mean, World Baseball Classic, maybe?
Ooh, that doesn't start till
no, that doesn't start for a little bit. No, you're right.
It's like right before the season. So we're just going to be chilling. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Later.
Goodbye.